You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. Welcome to Dolphins Talk Weekly, your one-stop audio breakdown of all of this week's Miami Dolphins news. Now, here is your host, Kevin Durr.
Good morning, Dolphins, and happy Victory Monday as you tune in here to episode 30 of Dolphins Talk Weekly. I am your host, Kevin Dern. Please give me a follow on Twitter at KevinMD4. Follow along with the show on Spotify, iTunes, or Spreaker, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be there with the Dolphins Talk Weekly podcast brought to you by BetUS. Well, it was quite a weekend of NFL football, and the Dolphins sit alone in first place in the AFC East after they went to Foxborough and won for only the second time since 2008. A 17-16 victory over the New England Patriots. Now, if you listened to the podcast last week or you saw some of my tweets during the week, I fully expected this game to be a rock fight, and it absolutely was. It was close. It was gritty. Miami was pretty much outplayed after the first drive they had the ball throughout the rest of the game, and if not for a tremendously clutch forced fumble and recovery by Xavier Howard, you know, the outcome's likely a different story. But we'll get into that here. No script tonight, just kind of going off the cuff as we review the game in its entirety. And because I expected it to be a rock fight, those were typically the games that Miami has had trouble with in the past, whether it's been with Brian Flores or Joe Philbin or Adam Gase, or really, you know, you name it, going back to the days of Don Shula, Miami's had trouble in these type of physical, grinded out type of battles. You know, maybe they won a few under Tony Sperano, you know, here and there, but that's been about it. And especially when you consider the fact that it's a division opponent, it's Bill Belichick. He's had the entire summer to prepare for you. You're in their place with fans back and, you know, the usual voodoo that Foxborough brings to a road team. I didn't really feel too good about this one, and I kind of expected some pain. And just to kind of let you see a little bit about my weekend, I didn't really get a chance to watch much college football. I had a lot of NBA stuff for my class to get done. Finished a huge assignment at about 2 o'clock in the morning, day of the game. Had to wake up at 7 with a 1-year-old who was not too happy today. So, you know, my wife and our daughter decided to go out shopping with her mother and her sister. Left me to my own devices. Had to submit my homework assignment. Had to mow the lawn. And decided, okay, you know, I don't have a great feeling about today. Might as well just start drinking and, you know, get a little buzz built up before, you know, kickoff. And, you know, had a couple beers, decided to go out to the Mexican restaurant with the family for lunch, had a margarita there, and, you know, was generally feeling pretty good going into the game. Enjoyed some of the early games, had a couple more beers, and finally by the time the Dolphins game started, I was pretty calm. And just to give you some context here, you know, no matter what, even if I think the Dolphins are going to win, you know, or if they're going to lose by 30 points, I've always kind of gotten nervous butterflies leading up to a game. And this is something that happened to me as a player, even back in my high school days. Even when you kind of knew your team was going to go out there and win the game by 30 or 40 points, you could just kind of tell. I would still have butterflies until, you know, I ran through the tunnel and made that first hit on an opponent. Kind of the same deal with the Dolphins, maybe a little bit less so since I'm obviously not in the game. But always kind of have that nervous, that anxiousness feeling leading right up to kickoff. And usually I kind of settle in after the first drive or so. And, you know, today was kind of just okay, preparing, you know, for the worst. I didn't like the circumstances, having to play New England. I don't care that Mac Jones is a rookie quarterback. I assumed that this was going to be a tough game. And it was. But As Brian Flores said in his post-game press conference, winning is good any way that you can get it. I think that's wholly true. And I would add to that, getting a division win, a road division win, in a place that you had only won one other time since 2008 is huge. And because of that, the Dolphins sit alone in first place. And I think that really magnifies the importance of next week's game against Buffalo. Buffalo has been the one giant bugaboo for Brian Flores since he took over as the coach in 2019. The Dolphins are 0-4 against the Bills, and two of those games have not been particularly close. And if you listen to the podcast earlier in the summer, I did the Catching Buffalo series, talking about the jumps that Miami needed to put forward in order to catch the Bills, the reigning division champions, number two seed in the playoffs last year, beat Miami, you know, mercilessly in week 17 to keep them out of the playoffs. Miami had a long way to go. And I guess there's a couple incontrovertible facts about week one. Number one, you don't really know what your team is going to be going into it, especially in these kind of odd preseason circumstances where, you know, Miami's, you know, quote unquote dress rehearsal game was against Atlanta, who did not treat that same game as a dress rehearsal game. So you didn't really have a good feel of what to expect quite often. And Brian Flores mentioned this in his post-game presser. There's a little bit of trial and error. You don't know what combinations necessarily work well. You don't know what schemes work well. For example, if you look at some of the Miami's pass rush schemes, you know, maybe someone like an Andrew Van Ginkle and a Zach Sealer are a better tandem on one side than, say, an Adam Butler and a Jalen Phillips, solely because Van Ginkle and Sealer have played together before. They have that rapport. They know how each other operates. There's something to be said about only experiencing that in practice versus live reps in a game. And I think we're going to continue to see that. And we kind of saw that last year with Miami, especially on defense. We didn't really see them start to take off until the San Francisco game, week 5. And from then on, they became a menace to the rest of the league. So fact number one is that you don't really know what your team is going to look like from the start of the season in September to the end of the regular season in, I guess it's January now, this year. That's fact number one. Fact number two is that no team wins the Super Bowl in week one. It just isn't played. So I've seen a lot of Dolphins fans kind of disappointed by the result today. And, you know, I would have to say that if you thought Miami was going to go into Foxborough and win this game by several scores, you know, I'll have what you're having. That never crossed my mind even once. This is still Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots we're talking about. They have a very good running game. They have a ridiculously good offensive line, as we saw in the game. They obviously have a very good defensive scheme. Miami's basically running its child version with Brian Flores and Josh Boyer in Miami. So, you know, that's pretty arrogant to think that you're going to go in there and win by multiple scores. You know, maybe 7, maybe 10 points at most. I didn't even know if Miami would go in there and win. I thought it would just be a very close, very hard-fought game, and it was. And the other thing I would say is today was not a very good exercise in complimentary football. I know Tua talked about that in his post-game interview with the CBS channel with Melanie Collins, you know, after the game. You know, Miami did not play good complimentary football. They lost the time of possession battle by almost an entire quarter. New England had the ball 13 minutes and 26 seconds more than Miami. New England had 8 more first downs than Miami, although a couple of those I think you could argue were, you know, due to some spotty officiating. You had the ridiculous roughing the passer penalty on a Landon Roberts in the first half that resulted in New England's only touchdown on that subsequent drive. Otherwise, that would have been a fourth down in a field goal kick. So that really added 4 points to the board for the Patriots. you know, the final score realistically could have been 17-12 instead of 17-16. But that gave the Patriots a first down, and they went on to score a touchdown. And then in the third quarter, Miami was up 17-10. This was the drive after Jalen Waddle's touchdown. And I believe it was Ramondre Stevenson had a short run. It looked like Miami stopped him. I believe it was Landon Roberts, Adam Butler, and Brandon Jones. It was a run to the Patriots' left side. And the, I don't know if it's the head linesman or the side judge over there, just gave an absolutely absurd spot. And they didn't even check to measure to see if the running back had gotten the first down. And then, of course, you had a couple of other penalties here and there that kind of aided the Patriots in that effort. But I think you have to, number one, give credit to the defense. They held in there. They bent, but they didn't break, which I think was especially tough when you lost Raekwon Davis as early in the game as they did. And the offense didn't really capitalize on, you know, certain things. They didn't capitalize after the fumble in the first half. You know, they had several three and outs after stops in the game that gave the ball right back to New England, who just chewed up more clock. So, all in all, and then you had the Tua interception when he was trying to throw it away. All in all, you know, not a good complimentary one hand washing the other performance out of the Dolphins today. That's something you're going to have to get cleaned up, and you're going to have to get it cleaned up right quick with Buffalo coming into town hungry for a win after they lost at home to Pittsburgh. So, obviously, as Brian Flores talked about, as Tua talked about in their post-game media availability, a lot of corrections to do. But let's kind of dive through the game. We'll start with the defense first. Yes, there were a few times where they were leaky against the run. Obviously, the big run by Damian Harris to start the game, 35 yards. New England blocked that up perfectly. And I think that's one of the things that Miami's going to play around with, especially early in the season, is trying to figure out which defensive front combinations work, which personnel groupings work, how they want to align. You know, Miami came out basically playing in a 3-3 slide front, which is basically a 4-2 with Andrew Van Ginkel standing up as a defensive end. And I believe they had Jerome Baker and Sam Aguavin on the field. Not really the two ideal guys you want to have as off-ball linebackers to stop the run. So, you know, there are some schematic things I think that they need to clean up. I thought the defensive line, by and large, played pretty well, especially Emmanuel Ogba. Three solo tackles, tackle for loss, a forced fumble, and a pass deflection. Had a couple of other really nice pass rush reps. There was one where the third right tackle the Patriots played with got called for holding. Had a couple of other nice reps where he got hits on Mac Jones. And that's another thing I should point out is, you know, I've seen a lot of people with this sort of hot take, oh, our pass rush wasn't very good today. That wasn't the case. You know, Miami had the Landon Roberts sack wiped off the board. They had the play where they basically called it Mac Jones lateraling when I think it was Christian Wilkins came in. He was initially credited for a sack. You had the play where they ran a nice little game and Emmanuel Ogba got the pass deflection. They got right in Mac Jones' face. I think they had 7 or 8 quarterback hits on the day. So, just because you didn't get a sack doesn't mean the pass rush wasn't good. Could it be better? Yes, and I think it will get better. It's going to take them a while to try and dial up and figure out which games work. You know, if you've watched some of the Odd Mac O stuff or listened to the podcast when I've talked about it, they ran some of the hot and cold stunts early in the game, and that produced a hit with Adam Butler on Mac Jones. For whatever reason, I think Josh Boyer wanted to try and test out Mac Jones, and they brought a lot of blitzes from the slot with Nick Needham. Byron Jones did it one time. I believe Justin Coleman and Brandon Jones were also involved in some of those slot blitzes. And, you know, sometimes you just have to tip your cap to the opponent. Mac Jones played really well. He looked like a seasoned veteran out there. And if we're being honest with ourselves, he had better pocket presence today than Tua. By a pretty good margin, I would venture to say. But, I mean, those are things that you can work on and get cleaned up. You know, I think New England's offensive line is one of the best in football. They showed that today. And then the other component you have is once Raekwon Davis goes down, Well, now you've got to play John Jenkins more snaps. You've got to give more snaps to Adam Butler and Zach Sealer in some of the base formations. Emmanuel Ogba had to play more in some of the base formations. I do wonder if they are maybe missing sort of that 4-3 defensive end type, and maybe that's why they have Jabal Sheard on the practice squad, because they didn't really have anyone to rotate with Ogba. They used Van Ginkle there. They used Jalen Phillips as an end. They used Brennan Scarlett down in a three-point stance a couple times. You know, I thought New England did a pretty nice job of scheming and being able to hit runs off tackle today. But I think that's something that Miami will get cleaned up. And ultimately, you know, if you take off that first initial run, Miami's run defensive numbers aren't that bad. And I think that's something that you can build on. I mean, you know, in total, New England only had one touchdown on the day, and it was kind of gift wrapped to them by the egregious penalty on Alandon Roberts for roughing the passer. The linebackers, I thought Roberts was kind of the best of the bunch today. He and Van Ginkle played really well. Jerome Baker, I thought, had some moments where he kind of got stuck on blocks. That we know that that's kind of the risk you run with him. He also got lost in coverage the one time they threw that little sideline wheel route to James White. You know, perhaps that's something, you know, like Josh Boyer spoke about in his media availability leading up to the game. Perhaps that's something that they didn't prepare for, you know, and maybe he wasn't, you know, didn't have a key to read that and adjust it on the fly. A lot of those things happen in week one, but now that you have that on tape, the next team that plays the Patriots is going to have that, and they're going to see that and be ready for it. Same thing with Miami. They've now got a game of Bills tape from this year to watch and look at some of the ways Pittsburgh kind of stymied their offense. Excuse me, I'm a little under the weather with my allergies right now, so beg your pardon on that. But all in all, you know, the front seven, some things to clean up. I think some of the schematic changes they'll make in wake of this game, you know, I haven't obviously gotten a chance to go back through and watch the All-22. They played a lot more four-man fronts in the second half and seemed to stop the run better. I think they need to work on figuring out the best combinations in some of the odd Mac-O stuff and some of their zero blitz schemes and figure out what works, what doesn't, you know. But I have faith in them ironing that out relatively quickly just based on what they've done the past 2 years. In the secondary, obviously Xavien Howard, you know, they didn't even really throw to him other than the switch release. And then he had a couple of times where he was in coverage based on the zone. But, you know, smart for the Patriots and Mac Jones to avoid throwing to Xavien Howard's side. Made the play of the day for the Dolphins with that forced fumble and fumble recovery. Basically won them the game there. Obviously, Miami had to go get a pair of first downs to ice it. But that game, that play really changed the game and I think kind of helped the Dolphins secure that victory. So good to see that from a man who, you know, deserves the extra pay that he got and someone that I advocated for them to keep the entire offseason. Good to see that vindication right away. So Byron Jones, I thought, was pretty good. Kind of had the avenged game against Nelson Agholor, where I think Miami kind of maybe wasn't as prepared for something was a lot of those inside crossing routes that New England ran. Nick Needham, Brandon Jones was on the field a lot more than I realized. Justin Coleman. I think they had some trouble doing that. I think they played a lot of underneath zone. Sometimes the linebackers were in coverage there. They lost Eric Rowe for a time. You know, you have Jason McCourty, who has played that deep safety role before in the past, but not always. You have Javon Holland, who's a rookie, who missed, you know, the final two preseason games. So you've got all these things kind of compounding up on one another. And despite all of this, Miami was still able to hold the Patriots to 16 points. And, you know, the one touchdown they got was basically gifted to them. So while it wasn't pretty, while it was certainly bend but don't break, it wasn't a dominating performance. What ultimately matters is the number of points you allow. And Miami only gave up 16, which to me is pretty impressive, especially in a division game like this where the stakes are a little bit higher. And I would venture to say, if you can, if you only give up 16 against Buffalo next week, you're going to get a win. Do I think that'll happen? I don't know. The past evidence says no, but something to build on. And obviously, you're going to have guys like Javon Holland is going to get more comfortable. Jalen Phillips will get more comfortable. Josh Boyer is going to get more comfortable using those guys. And I think things will kind of work themselves out as we kind of progress through the season. You know, the first three or four games, once we get through that, I think we'll have a better idea of where the defense is. So overall, good job by them today. I thought the special teams were excellent. You know, obviously kudos to Jason Sanders for hitting the big field goal right before the half. Blake Ferguson had one low snap on the first punt of the game. Otherwise was perfect. Michael Pilardi, not the best day at the office, but, you know, we'll see what he can continue to do. Before we move on for the review of our offense, we'll have a quick word from one of our sponsors, BetUS. Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force, with the MLB playoff races heating up, college football and the NFL have started, you need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS have been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com. That is BETUS.com. And they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MYBETUS. You receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code DOLPHINSTALK. They have re-up and referral bonuses as well. BetUS is known as America's favorite sportsbook for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all of your MLB, college football, and NFL games with team and player props. Loads of NFL futures and NFL odds are up. You can bet on UFC matches and props, PGA golf and round matchups, and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all of your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy to use with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity just like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. And thank you to BetUS for sponsoring the Dolphins Talk Weekly podcast. So, offensively, let's just get it out of the way right now. You know, the first drive of the game that Miami had was brilliant. I mean, that was some of the best offensive football I think we've seen, you know, probably since Dan Marino was under center. I mean, that drive was amazing. I've never seen anybody, you know, kind of come out, use the quote-unquote script of plays and just absolutely shred the New England Patriots defense for a touchdown like Miami did yesterday. I mean, that was fantastic. The use of RPOs, the zone read stuff, the split zone action with Durham Smythe came in handy, and that led to Tua's touchdown run right off the board. You know, that was about as good of a start as you could have hoped for, minus the Raekwon Davis injury, and hopefully we'll get some word on him. Hopefully he is okay. I thought it was a good sign that he walked off the field under his own power, had his helmet on, but never did return to the game. Myles Gaskin, I thought, did really well for what they asked him to do. I think they kind of went away from him a little bit in the second half. I don't know if that was something that they game planned to try and, you know, throw the Patriots off, but, you know, I thought Myles did a really nice job with some of those inside zone and cutback runs, being able to wind things all the way to the backside, you know, showed some nice work getting to the outside on some of the runs in the second half, had good hands, you know, got caught in the mixer and the blender a few times in some of the pass blocking reps that he had. You know, you don't necessarily want to have him against a Josh Uche or a Matthew Judon or someone like that, or a Dante Hightower. And that happened on a couple of occasions. You know, Malcolm Brown, I thought, ran hard. They had him as the Wildcat trigger man a couple of times right before Jalen Waddle's touchdown. Basically brought him in to ice the game with Jacoby Brissett at the very end in the fourth quarter. You know, would like to see a little bit more out of him, but I thought for how they used him, Miami did a pretty nice job, you know, facilitating Brown. Savon Ahmed in the passing game seems to be a real thing. I think that could be kind of huge. Perhaps he develops into some sort of, you know, James White type of role. But I thought they used all three backs to, you know, a pretty good degree. Obviously, time of possession was not in the Dolphins' favor, as we mentioned, minus 13 minutes, 26 seconds compared to New England. So hopefully if Miami's able to get the ball more against Buffalo and other future opponents, we'll see more of those guys kind of mixed in. The receiver group, Jalen Waddle is as advertised. I think going to him early and often was a smooth move by George Godsey. They used him in motion. They lined him up in different spots. I think we're only going to see the playbook continue to expand with Jalen Waddle. Obviously, the speed is there. The maneuverability in the open field is there. Very intrigued with the possibilities for down the road. And I don't think they showed everything in the playbook by any stretch of the imagination, mostly because they weren't on the field for almost a whole quarter of the game. But, you know, Jalen Waddle was the real deal. You know, Devontae Parker kind of got the reputation of a whipping boy amongst the Dolphin receivers, but I think being a part of this offense, especially when they get Will Fuller back next week and moving forward, is going to be very nice for Devontae Parker. You know, he's always kind of had that sneaky run after catch ability. You know, he's a 4.4 40 guy. It's not like he's slow. And, you know, his ability to take some of those slants and get key first downs, I think, was huge, especially that first one he had in the second half, just to kind of get the ball moving for Miami. And then obviously made a nice catch on the sideline on the deep ball from Tua. You know, good game for Devontae Parker. I think they need to continue to feed him and Will Fuller. Albert Wilson, I don't think, had a catch in the game. You know, trying him as a deep threat just doesn't really make sense, given that he's 5'9 and isn't as fast as Grant or Waddle. You know, and that's kind of always been my question with him, is he ever going to get that speed back? You know, I haven't looked through the All-22. It's before that even releases. So I do wonder if they need to get him involved on some of these more crossing routes and screens and things like that to get him better into the offense. But he was kind of non-existent today, as was Mike Gesicki. You know, he had the one catch called back on a penalty, which would have been a key third down conversion. He had another one where it was kind of a low throw and he wasn't able to hang on. They've got to do a better job of incorporating Gesicki, especially up the seam. But I think New England made a concerted effort to try and take him away. Hopefully he'll be a little more open and, you know, involved against the Buffalo Bills in week two. He had a really nice game against them last year at Hard Rock Stadium, had that fantastic one-handed catch. Durham Smythe, I thought, blocked okay. You know, the use of Seathan Carter, I wonder how much he actually gets used when Adam Shaheen returns, and or when Hunter Long is kind of fully engrossed into the offense. You know, kind of a quiet day for the tight ends all around. You know, decent work as blockers, decent work being used in the passing game as decoys, and as Tua mentioned, kind of as pick players on Jalen Waddle's touchdown reception. But obviously you want to get Mike Gesicki more involved in the offense moving forward. The offensive line, you know, I know this is going to be the key point. We'll get one thing out of the way right off the bat. Everyone kind of talked about Josh Uche and the sack he had against Liam Eichenberg. Well, I went back and found on the highlight clip, Liam Eichenberg got done in by friendly fire because he trips over Solomon Kinley's left foot. So, not entirely on Eichenberg. I think he was in pretty good position. Josh Uche didn't just pancake him and plow over him. He got tripped by Solomon Kinley. So, I think overall, pretty positive day for Liam Eichenberg, who, you know, hadn't really been healthy the last couple weeks, didn't know he was going to play left tackle today, or during the game until the day of the game that morning. You know, had a couple penalties, but overall I thought did pretty well, and I thought Miami had their best running attack going when they ran behind he and Solomon Kinley. Michael Dieter, I thought, did well in pass protection. They didn't have any egregious, you know, assignment snafus where people came in free on Tua, but it certainly wasn't the best I've ever seen in Dolphins offensive line play. Again, this is something I needed to go back on with the All-22. Was not very impressed with Robert Hunt at right guard. I thought he got kind of pushed around, especially by Lawrence Guy. Thought he ended up on the ground quite a bit in the run game and not when he was cut blocking people. he didn't give up any, you know, sacks or hits on Tua, but kind of got walked back into, you know, Tua's pocket and into his throwing lanes a couple times. You know, Jesse Davis had some rough moments out there. So I think all in all, the main conclusion that I took from today is that, number one, it's still very much a work in progress. Number two, Liam Eichenberg needs to be a starter, whether it's at left tackle or right tackle. He needs to be a starter somewhere. You know, I think you would like to have him be the blindside protector of Tua and let Austin Jackson play on the left side, or even Jesse Davis play on the left side. I don't know how, you know, Lemuel Jean-Pierre wants to sort that out. But it's also Lemuel Jean-Pierre's first time being an offensive line coach. It's George Godsey and Eric Studesville's first time being coordinators together. Obviously, Godsey was a coordinator before with Houston. So there's going to be a little bit of that experimentation factor. There's that newness factor. You know, a couple times it looked like Tua was having trouble hearing the communications, I guess, from Charlie Fry, who is the voice in Tua's head during the play call, which, you know, communication problems have long been sort of one of those, you know, everyone talks about it, but the NFL ignores it type of things that happens at Gillette Stadium. Sort of like the officials just kind of randomly spotting the ball wherever they choose on key third and ones and not measuring. You know, it's the Gillette Stadium stuff. It is what it is. It's always going to be there. And I think because Robert Kraft is one of the owners who helped draft the, you know, the last couple CBAs, he's kind of in Goodell's good graces, and they kind of slide by on some of those, you know, sketchy things. But that's neither here nor there. Just something I wanted to bring up. But obviously the offensive line's got to get better. I think next week you're going to see fewer stunts in games the way the Patriots ran things, and you're going to see, you know, A-gap blitzes, and you're going to see pressure off the edge from Rousseau and Basham and Jerry Hughes. And before I start to dive too far into my thoughts on the Buffalo game next week, I wanted to have a quick word from our friends at Manscaped. Attention gamblers of all shapes and sizes, our friends at Manscaped have a can't-miss bet for you today. The leaders in male grooming just launched their fourth-generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor when you use the Lawnmower 4.0 on your balls. Across the board, this is the package to get you in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty? 2 million men already have. Join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code DOLPHINSTALK. The Performance Package 4.0 is the ultimate parlay to take your grooming game to the next level. Hitting a favorite is fun, but shaving my balls with confidence? Nah, the folks at Manscaped have given me just that and have my trust when trimming my boys. The recently released Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is a favorite of mine, and the fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when you need a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof. Again, get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code DOLPHINSTALK. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DOLPHINSTALK at manscaped.com. Fellas, don't gamble on shaving your balls with the wrong tools. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. And thank you to Manscaped for your support of the Dolphins Talk Weekly podcast. So, we kind of got into it there for a second, but week two against Buffalo. I talked about it earlier. They've been the Brian Flores bugaboo, 0-4 against the Bills since he's been the head coach. That's got to change. And if you change it this week, you're now basically up two games on the Bills in the division. And in the conference, I should say, because the Bills played Pittsburgh in week one. You have to figure that New York is probably going to beat the Jets in week two. Or excuse me, New England is probably going to beat the Jets in week two. So you've already got the tiebreaker against the Patriots. If you can put one in the bag against Buffalo, I mean, that's about as big of an early season win as you can get. Probably bigger than winning in Foxborough, in my eyes anyway, just given the recent history, you know, of Bills' dominance over Miami. So that's a huge game. We definitely need to see, you know, more continuity with the offensive line. I thought Tua himself, you know, in the game against New England, there were times when he was great. He threw with great accuracy, threw with great touch. There were certain times, like when he tried to throw deep with Savon Ahmed. I think that was an automatic decision that maybe shouldn't have been an automatic, and it was a very poorly thrown football. But by and large, he was pretty accurate. I did think he got a little bit jumpy in the pocket and kind of retreated when maybe he should have flushed left. I do think that maybe George Gotze and Eric Stoudsville and Charlie Fry can sort of build a plan to kind of get him on the move a little more. You kind of saw some good things happen with the Waddle touchdown. And then when they were pinned back deep trying to ice the game, he had the nice, you know, not quite a first down, but a good long run on sort of that naked bootleg. I think it was ultimately nullified by an Eichenberg holding penalty. But good things happen when you get to, you know, Tua kind of moving in and around and out of the pocket. And that was one of the few things I was at least appreciative of Chan Gailey doing last year, is showing that, you know, I guess before he was even fully recovered, that Tua could do some good things on the move. And I think Miami, you know, maybe perhaps because of having to throw Liam Eichenberg in there at the last minute at left tackle, was a little more cautious with what they called. I think we tend to see them kind of get Tua on the move a little more next week against Buffalo. I think you also need to see them control the clock more. You know, Josh Allen has probably given Miami's defense the toughest time out of any quarterback they face since Flores took over. So the more you can have him on the sidelines, the better, which means ball control offense to me. So again, I think you see kind of the same game plan, at least early on in the game. Some RPOs, try to establish the run. I think you'll take some calculated shots, especially now that Will Fuller is back. Maybe you try and hit some of these, you know, crossers, mesh concepts, sail concepts, things over the middle, things where you can get Tua outside and do half field or triangle reads. I think New England was just very dialed in today, especially after they started to slow down the RPO stuff. When they took away the RPO run game, you know, Miami's conventional offense kind of sputtered until, you know, the first drive of the second half. So ultimately, I think we need to see more improvement from there. If Raekwon Davis cannot go, that'll be a big loss. Maybe not as big against Buffalo, who's more of a throw-first team with Josh Allen. But ultimately, you know, this game, this past week, was a rock fight. And I kind of felt like that going in. I think the game against Buffalo is sort of a race to 30 points. If you can get 30 points, I feel pretty good about your odds of winning the game. And I think that's sort of the magic number. If you can get four touchdowns and a field goal or some other type of score, you should be in pretty good shape. Now, as for Dolphins Talk Weekly, unfortunately, I will not be able to do a preview. We have a big project in my MBA class this week, so I'll be devoting a lot of my extra time to that. I wanted to do some sort of review article for DolphinsTalk.com. Might have some time to squeeze something out, but I cannot promise anything. But I will do a recap of the Bills game next weekend, which will probably launch next Monday, a week from today, as you listen to this, even though I'm recording on a Sunday night. So, again, enjoy the victory. They gave up 16 points to the Patriots, should have only been 12. They're going to get better. You have to have some patience. It's not going to look like a Super Bowl winner from day one, week one, right off the bat. That's just unrealistic. But 1-0, a road division win against New England, 17-16 over the Patriots, is a sweet win. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. I personally have a glass of Lagavulin 11, the Offerman edition. It is divine. I'm going to go enjoy that. Again, follow the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Spreaker, wherever you listen. Follow me on Twitter at KevinMD4. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for reading. All the material at DolphinsTalk.com, whether it's me, whether it's any of the other guys, Dante, Reason, Josh, Mike, Tom, Big E. Thank you for your support. It means a ton to us. Have a great week. Fins up.